Sazed hovered over the world, changing things as he felt he must. He cradled the hiding places of mankind, keeping the caverns safe, even if he did move them about, as he reworked the world's tectonics. Finally, he exhaled softly, his work finished. And yet the power did not evaporate from him as he had expected it to. Rashik and Vin only touched small pieces of it at the Well of Ascension, he realized. I have something more. Something endless. Ruin and preservation were dead, and their powers had been joined together. In fact, they belonged together. How had they been split? Someday, perhaps, he would discover the answer to that question. Somebody would need to watch over the world, care for it, now that its gods were gone. It wasn't until that moment that Sazed understood the term Hero of Ages. Not a hero that came once in the ages, but a hero who would span the ages. A hero who would preserve mankind throughout all its lives and times. Neither preservation nor ruin, but both. God. Vin was special. Preservation chose her from a very young age, as I have mentioned. I believe that he was grooming her to take his power. Yet the mind of preservation was very weak at that point, reduced only to the fragment that we knew as the Mist Spirit. What made him choose this girl? Was it because she was a Mistborn? Was it because she had snapped so early in life, coming to her powers even as she went through the pains of the unusually difficult labor her mother went through to bear her? Vin was unusually talented and strong with allomancy, even from the beginning. I believe that she must have drawn some of the mist into her when she was still a child, in those brief times when she wasn't wearing the earring. Preservation had mostly gotten her to stop wearing it by the time Kelsier recruited her, though she put it back in for a moment before joining the crew. Then she'd left it there at his suggestion. Nobody else could draw upon the mists. I have determined this. Why were they open to Vin and not others? I suspect that she couldn't have taken them all in until after she'd touched the power at the Well of Ascension. It was always meant, I believe, to be something of an attuning force, something that, once touched, would adjust a person's body to be able to accept the mists. Yet she did make use of a small crumb of preservation's power when she defeated the Lord Ruler, a year before she even began hearing the thumping of the power's return to the well. There is much more to this mystery. Perhaps I will tease it out eventually as my mind grows more and more accustomed to its expanded nature. Perhaps I will determine why I was able to take the powers myself. For now, I only wish to make a simple acknowledgement of the woman who held the power just before me. Of all of us who touched it, I feel she was the most worthy. Epilogue. Spook awoke from the nightmare, then sat up. The cavern around him was dark, lit only by candles and lamps. He stood, stretching. Around him, people gasped. He walked past them, seeking out his friends. The cavern was packed, holding everyone from Urto who'd been willing to come and hide. As such, it was difficult for Spook to pick his way through the shuffling, coughing, chatting bodies. As he walked, the whispers grew louder, and people stood, following. Beldra came running up to him, wearing a white dress.
Spook? She asked with wonder. What happened?
He just smiled, putting his arm around her. They made their way to the front of the cavern. Breeze sat at a table. Of course he would have furniture, while pretty much everyone else sat on the rock floor. Spook smiled at him, and the soother raised an eyebrow.
You're looking well, my boy, Breeze said, taking a drink of his wine.
You could say that, Spook said.
That's all you're going to say? Beldra said to Breeze. Look at him. He's been healed.
Breeze shrugged, putting down his wine and standing.
My dear, with all the oddities that have been happening lately, young Spook's appearance doesn't measure up. A simple healing? Why, that's rather mundane, if you ask me.
Breeze smiled, catching Spook's eye.
Shall we then? Spook asked.
Breeze shrugged.
Why not? What do you think that we'll find?
I'm not sure, Spook admitted, stepping into the antechamber beyond the cavern. He started to climb the ladder.
Spook, Beldra said warily, you know what the scouts said. The entire city was burning from the heat of the sun.
Spook looked up, noting the light shining between the cracks of the trap door. He smiled, then pushed it open.
There was no city outside, just a field of grass. Green grass.
Spook blinked at the strange sight, then crawled out onto the soft earth, making room for Breeze. The soother's head popped out, then cocked to the side.
Now there's a sight, he said, crawling out beside Spook.
Spook stood up in the grass. It came up to his thighs. Green. Such a strange color for plants.
And the sky, Breeze said, shading his eyes. Blue. Not a hint of ash or smoke. Very odd. Very odd indeed. I'll bet Vin had something to do with this mess. That girl never could do things the proper way.
Spook heard a gasp from behind and turned to see Beldra climbing out of the cavern. He helped her step up onto the ground, then they walked in silent wonder through the tall grass. The sun was so bright overhead, yet it wasn't uncomfortably hot.
What happened to the city?
Beldra whispered, holding Spook's arm. He shook his head. Then, however, he heard something. He turned, thinking he saw motion on the horizon. He walked forward, Beldra at his side, Breeze calling down for Aurianne to come up and see what had happened.
Are those people?
Beldra asked, finally seeing what Spook had. The people in the distance saw them too, and as soon as they drew close, Spook smiled and waved at one.
Spook? Ham called. Kid, is that you?
Spook and Beldra hurried forward. Ham stood with others, and behind them Spook could see